And so in Proverbs 1, verse 22, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Now, fool really doesn't hate knowledge in the sense that he wants it all. He wants wisdom, but he will not accept it from anybody else. He's got to discover it from his own heart. So the fool then cannot grow in knowledge because it's not in his heart, and he's not willing to let anybody put it in his heart. But we need to be willing to be corrected and directed. And when the Lord gives us understanding, we need to accept that understanding, accept the knowledge that comes before the understanding, and we need to remember that. Proverbs 18, verse 2, a fool has no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. So he's not trying to understand somebody else's words. He wants to understand his own. And we need to keep in mind that we are not born with all wisdom. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child, so guess what we're trained in first? Well, foolishness. And we need to have a father to get that foolishness out. Well, our earthly father will help somewhat, but then the heavenly father needs to take over and get rid of the rest of the foolishness out of our hearts. So that's how we purify the heart, but we also need to form the heart. In 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 6 through 8, some of the Corinthians were responding like fools. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. So we shouldn't have a favorite teacher, whether it's Paul or Apollos or anybody today. These are all the words of God. And God's inspired these words in the witness of the apostles and Mark and Luke. And so we don't need to favor any person. We need to favor the word of God. So no matter who says the word of God, we need it all. So in verse 7, who makes you to differ from another? Well, we didn't make ourselves like we are. Physically, we're not like we'd like to be. We'd all like to be like Clark Gable or Marilyn. Well, I guess not. We'd like to be a lot better looking than what we are, and a lot stronger, a lot bigger, a lot taller, a lot whatever. But we didn't do this. God did. And it's best for us, whatever we are. And we need to trust him. And so who makes us to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? So if we've received it, he says, how do you boast? Why do you glory? And that word is cockamay there, boast, as if you had not received it. So there's no reason for us to boast. Somebody gives you $1 million, are you going to boast about having $1 million? Well, it's not you. It's someone who gave it to you. And the same thing for our abilities, our appearance, and everything we have. It's been given to us. And so we need to be thankful and use what God has given us in the best way so that his name is glorified. In Revelation, the 3rd chapter, verses 16 to 18, the brethren at Laodicea had evil communication, and the fool does that. If we're wise, we'll stay away from evil communication. If we're foolish, we will be listening to the media and all these other evils in the world, and those that are in the midst of these vanities. Revelation 3:16. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither hot nor cold, cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. How did you get there? Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. How did they get there? These are physical possessions they're talking about. So who gave them confidence in physical possessions? So they say, we don't need anything. What happened to their spiritual sight and their desire to be in the image of Christ? It was gone. And he says, you know not that you're wretched and poor and blind and naked. So they spiritually had nothing. They were gone. But physically, they had everything. They had everything they needed. Verse 18, he's talking about the heart. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, rich in heart. And white raiment, that you may be clothed. There's your righteousness of the saints. and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. So they're naked now. They need some righteousness. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. They were blind now. And so they weren't seeing that they weren't being formed at all. And they're totally confident that they're going to heaven. But what was their real situation? They're cold. They're blind. And they're on the broad road. In Proverbs, the 11th chapter, in verse 2, they got there by being companions of those that were in the world. Proverbs 11, verse 2, when pride comes, then comes shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. So we're wanting to grow in wisdom, and with the lowly, God says, is wisdom. We've got to humble ourselves and not be like the foolish people, that we're willing to accept correction and direction from God's word. And no matter who brings it to us from God's word, we need to believe exactly what God says. And we need to be humble enough to accept it and walk that way. In Proverbs 3, verse 18, wisdom is a tree of life to them that lay hold on her. And happy is everyone that retains her. Now notice the pathway here. Notice she is a tree, that's wisdom, is a tree of life to whom? To those that lay hold on her. So somehow we need to lay hold on wisdom. And it's not going to come just naturally or because we just pray. God expects more than only prayer. So we need to lay hold on wisdom. And happy is everyone that retains her. Well, the Laodiceans that we just read about, they had the wisdom, but they didn't retain it. And just because I grow in wisdom to a certain point, I can lose that wisdom. And remember, he says, to those that seem to have, he'll take away what they seem to have if they turn away from him. Proverbs 4, verse 4, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Remember, you that are older will remember, the Church of Christ was known for Bible-toting, Bible-quoting Christians. They knew the Bible. Why? Because they heard the Bible over and over, and they weren't afraid to talk to others about the Bible and what they understood and heard. And they were studying God's Word regularly, so they talked about what they knew and what they had studied. And so if we were the same way, or we are the same way, then we'll be talking to others about the Scriptures and not be ashamed of the Scriptures at all. So our hope then is to find the Scripture and discuss the Scripture with others who have a mind to discuss the Scriptures. Then he says, don't forget it. Let your heart retain my words. Then Proverbs 4, verse 5, he repeats it. Get wisdom. Okay, we need to lay hold on it. Get understanding. We need to find a way to get understanding. Forget it not. All right, we've got a goal here. We should never forget getting more and more wisdom and more understanding. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Declining, you're going backwards. That's what Laodicea did. So we need to keep growing and keep this memory of all this knowledge we have and keep the wisdom and keep the understanding that God gives us and not lose it. In Proverbs 4, verse 8, exalt her and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Now, this isn't necessarily man's honor. This is God's honor. These are promises. And if we get more and more wisdom, then we'll have more and more honor from God. And so we need to get this wisdom that he's offering us. In Proverbs, the 8th chapter, verses 17 through 21, we literally need to love wisdom. Now, sometimes we love material things. We need to forget the material things. We need to turn to spiritual things. And we need to love wisdom. We need to find out what wisdom is and love everything wisdom is. Wisdom says, I love them that love me. There's a pretty good offer. If we learn to love wisdom, wisdom will love us. And those that seek me early, as diligently, shall find me. So we have a pathway here, but it's going to have to require some diligence to do this seeking. But it's not just college where the professors keep everybody running day and night. The world does that. They've got so many things for us to do. We just don't have time to get into the scriptures and seek for God or seek his wisdom. But we need to change some of that, because many of these things are vanity. They're not necessities. And we need to give our hearts to seeking God's word. Now, we can only study so long before we get tired. We need to go away, do a good work, and come back and study some more. So in Proverbs 8, verse 18, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. So it's not a vanity if we get God's wisdom. We'll keep this forever and ever. That's what he wants us to be, very wise. So if we have so much wisdom when we die, guess what we have forever and ever? But if we have all wisdom and all spiritual understanding when we die, guess what we keep forever and ever? And the more wisdom we have, the more power we have. And so we're not dealing with temporary things here. We're dealing with eternal things. And that should give us a great zeal to seek for more and more wisdom of God. Verse 19, my fruit is better than gold, that's material. Yea, than fine gold, still material. My revenue than choice silver. Well, there's no comparison here. These are temporary things. Then he says, and here's wisdom describing herself, I lead in the way of righteousness. Righteousness is obeying the commands of God. In the midst of the paths of judgment, we would call it principle in our language today, but it's God's judgments. This is good, and this is better, and this is best. This is wrong, this is worse, and that's worst. So God gives us these judgments. We need to walk by those judgments. And when it's evil, we need to hate it and get away from it. When it's good, we need to grab it and hold on to it and walk by these principles. And then he says in verse 21, and here's the reason why you're going to get this wisdom, that I might cause those that love me to inherit substance. And this is eternal substance. And I will fill their treasures. So God will give us the wisdom that we need, and that wisdom is filled with many, many treasures of knowledge and understanding. In Proverbs 4, verse 9, wisdom still speaking here. Proverbs 4, verse 9, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. And this is not glory of men, this is glory of God. God will glorify us if we glorify him. And if we get this wisdom and understanding and knowledge, God will glorify us. Not necessarily here on earth, but his glory will be eternal when we get it. In Proverbs the 14th chapter, verse 33, again, those that are given have understanding have wisdom. Proverbs 14:33, wisdom rests in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. So if we have that heart of understanding, it has to come from God. Remember he told Timothy, meditate or consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding to how much? All things. The Lord is the one that gives the understanding. So we need to be regularly seeking him for understanding. In Proverbs the 3rd chapter, verses 5 and 6, we need to ask the Father regularly for his understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Well, how do we know it's our understanding? Well, it'll be our words or somebody else's. Or if we have somebody else's words, we have their understanding. But if we have God's word, whose understanding do we have that we can put it together? And we need to be able to put it together in every facet. So wisdom rests in the heart of those that have understanding. Don't lean to your own understanding. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now, if he directs our paths, where are we going? We're going to be going in the right direction. We're going to be doing the right things. And if God loves us and we understand the right way, he will direct our paths. So we need to acknowledge him. Acknowledge him in what way? Well, he's the one that directs paths. We won't go there, but Proverbs 16, the heart devises the way, but the Lord, the whole direction of the step is of the Lord. And then the lot is cast into the lap in verse 33, but the whole direction is of the Lord. Man's goings are of the Lord. How then can we understand our own way? Well, we need to know that God is directing not only our way, he's directing everybody. All things work together for good. What does that leave out? It doesn't leave anything out. Everything that happens on this earth is under his direction. So in Proverbs 17, verse 24, again, he says the same thing. So this is the third time, is it true? Wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of the fool are in the ends of the earth. So we need to seek understanding in order to form the heart. And without understanding, the word of God is taken away. Satan makes sure of that. Then what do we have if Satan takes away everything we've got? We've got nothing. So we need to seek and plead for understanding more and more. In Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 18 and 19, God is in full control of who understands his words in the scripture. Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, there it is, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. So we receive the seed, we receive the word of God, don't understand it, it's gone. So today, as we've been reading these words that God has spoken, how many of these words have we understood? And if we don't understand, they're gone. We can memorize them, but of course, it's just so many words that we're memorizing. And I'm reminded of the two children that memorized Psalms 119 in English. How much did they understand? Well, they had a perfect memory of it, but the understanding wasn't necessarily there. And we can memorize many scriptures, and we do need to, so we can recall them and meditate on them. But as far as the memory is concerned, that's not the key. Understanding is the key, because Satan has no permission to take the word that we understand. 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4, beginning in verse 13. He's commanding Timothy, and this, of course, is God speaking to Timothy. Till I come, Paul says, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Now, we don't have, generally speaking, a public reading here, but in the sermons, we read many scriptures. So we need to give attendance to reading, because that's where our knowledge is. To exhortation, and that's to exhort someone to do what they know they should do. To doctrine, more of the truth of God to be understood. Then he says in verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee. He had one of these spiritual gifts, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Then he tells Timothy, meditate on these things. That's what he said in 2 Timothy 2:7. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. So if we meditate on these things and give ourselves wholly to them, then men will see that we're understanding more and more of the Word of God. And that, of course, is a beautiful thing. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 16, eternal life depends on our bringing these things to memory at all times. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in so doing thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Take heed to yourself, to what? And unto the doctrine, to what? To continue in them. So we need to have these things in mind at all times and walk by them. In 2 Corinthians 3, verses 13 to 16, 2 Corinthians 3, 13, and not as Moses, which put a veil on his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, the law of Moses, but their minds were blinded. Why? For until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. So the veil is there until we turn to Christ. But even unto this day, verse 15, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. So what good is the reading doing? It's not doing any good at all, unless God gives the understanding. Nevertheless, when it, that heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. So what's the key here? turning to the Lord, seeking the Lord, seeking the Lord's understanding, his knowledge, and his wisdom. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, when God gives up on a man, he doesn't just leave him alone. He doesn't want him to know the gospel when he gives up on him. And remember, we've studied Romans 1 many times. When a man hears the truth of God, that he's the owner, he has all authority, and we will not walk only by his authority, then God gives that man up. And here's what happens. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, and we showed you that's Christ, literally the God of this age, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So he doesn't want these in the world to know his truth until they turn to him with a mind to do the will of God and live for God and God's purpose. So we need to encourage men to turn and consider their Creator. And we need to consider that the Creator is responsible for everything we are and have and everything we do. Because, like you said, if the foundation is taken away, what can the righteous do? So if this earth were taken away, what would happen to us? Every one of us would be out in space and our bodies would fly apart. Then what happens to us? We'd go back to God who created us in the first place. So without God and God's world and God's things, what are we? We're nothing, absolutely nothing. Let's turn to Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 16 and 17. Not only must we understand, but we also must be persuaded to do what he directs us to do. So we're emphasizing here in the lesson, he wants us to grow in wisdom. And if we listen to him, then we will seek to grow in wisdom. We've already seen one way in order to grow in wisdom, and that is we need to understand the Word of God. There's more that we need to know to be able to grow in his wisdom. Romans 10, verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Well, try and teach somebody and see if they believe the report. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith is the key. Faith is the strength. Faith is the victory. But how do we gain this faith? By hearing the word of God. And, of course, we've seen if we don't understand the Word of God, it's gone. So how does faith come? By hearing and understanding the Word of God. And so God has lots of knowledge here. And as if we understand the knowledge, it's ours. We keep it. Satan has no power over us. So we need to love that truth, and we need to get more and more understanding of that truth. Proverbs, the 21st chapter, verse 2. Most men are quite satisfied with their hearts as they are. That's why we're lax and we don't study any more than we do. We're satisfied with what we are. But we don't need to be satisfied. We need to say, I'm not satisfied till I'm fully in the image of Christ. I need to know every single part of his love, and I need to understand the knowledge that will get me that love. So we should never be satisfied until we are finished this race. Paul was not. In Proverbs 21, verse 2, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the hearts. So even though we may not be growing in heart, we may not be understanding more and more, nevertheless, God's working with our hearts over and over again. So what happens if we're mistaken about the fear of the Lord? The Lord says that the beginning of knowledge is, or beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. So we need to understand what this fear of the Lord is. And what happens if we're mistaken and we got the wrong fear of the Lord? We need to be careful. We need to search diligently to understand what the fear of the Lord is. So in the Hebrew scripture, 3372, there are three words for fear in the Old Testament, 3372, 73, and 74. 3372 is never used in the expression, the fear of the Lord. It's just not used at any time with the word Lord, Jehovah. In Genesis 42, verse 18, Joseph said unto them the third day, "This do and live." Then he testifies, "I fear God." And that's this word, 3372. So he does fear God. It's a verb. But the fear of the Lord is a noun. And 3373 is also a noun. And 3373 deals with literal fear. But 3374, in the expression, the fear of the Lord, is used literally every time. And if you find a time when it's not used, please share it with me. I haven't found it yet. And if 3374 is used, another word is used besides 3374 in fear of the Lord, I want to know. So I have several scriptures listed here that use this 3373. Let's just skip that for now. In Psalms 111, verse 10, Psalms 111, verse 10, this is why the fear of the Lord is so important. If I pray for wisdom and I don't have the fear of the Lord, do I have the beginning of wisdom? Psalms 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endures forever. And that his commandments, of course, is not in the in the Hebrew, but nevertheless it's well understood that either a good understanding have all they that fear the Lord or that do his commandments, and either one is good. So if we don't begin to get something, will we ever get it? So definitely we need to understand and find the correct definition of the fear of the Lord. And our time has gone here tonight, and Lord willing, we can continue that next week. If there's anyone here that's not a member of the Lord's body,